started going to a family group to start with about 19 years ago, because obviously my husband was an alcoholic, and a doctor had told me, my husband had had a seizure, a public seizure on the street, and it was all over the newspapers. And we looked up, as he was fitting on the floor, within seconds I looked up and there was a photographer stood just like a couple of feet away taking photographs. It was horrendous. I thought it was the end of the world, really. And then really what I didn't know, it was just the beginning of a new chapter. And the secret was out for us then. And when we went into the hospital, we met a really amazing male staff member, staff nurse, who was the kindest man ever. And he explained to me, because I didn't have a clue that you could have a fit if you'd not had a drink. And all he kept asking me was, you know, has he been drinking? Has he been drinking? And I was like, no, he's not been drinking. Stop asking me if he's been drinking. He's not been drinking. And they said, no, it's because he's not been drinking, his body's gone into toxic shock. And he was like, what? And he was, thanks goodness, he was kept in hospital for 5 days while he recovered. And they were really respectful, which was unheard of and is unheard of in this day and age, because alcoholism and addiction is, you don't get any support or care in A&E these days. You just get turfed out after 24 hours, if you're lucky. But it was whilst he was in hospital that a doctor said to me, because I was desperately asking him, you know, what do we do? What do we do? What, you know, can you not tell him not to drink again? And the doctor said, listen, he said, what you need to do is you need to go to the family group for alcoholics. And that was just the beginning, really. That was just the beginning of this. Like, it's like an awakening, really. You hear things that you've never heard before. All of the things I was doing that I thought were helping my husband were really just enabling him to carry on. Mm-hmm.
When you love someone, though, it's difficult, isn't
it? And it's a different type of love that you've got to learn. And I didn't understand that at all. It took me two years of going to this family group before I actually started to hear with clarity what it was that I needed to hear. Because I thought they were going to tell me the answer. I thought, if I sit here long enough, any day now they're going to tell me what it is I need to do to stop him drinking. And they didn't. They just talked about the feelings and about their lives and about this and about that. But it was all about them. And I thought, you know, something, maybe I'm in the wrong group. I don't know. Nobody's telling me what to do. And I used to say to this lady called Jean, who used to sit there knitting, every time I used to go to the meeting, I used to say to her, you know, when am I going to find out what it is that I need to do to stop him drinking? And she used to say, keep coming back and keep listening. And I did, because I believed her. She said, it will get better. And then one day, I was talking about my husband again in this meeting, because I was obsessed with his drinking. That was my addiction. His addiction was my addiction. And she put knitting needles down. And this was the greatest gift anyone's ever given me. And it was such a simple gift. She said to me, now listen to me, young lady. She said, every time you point your finger at your husband and blame him for the mess that your life's in, she said, there's three pointing back at you and one at the solution. And she said, I suggest you sort yourself out. I was like, how rude.
Yeah, tough love, wow.
And she started knitting again. And I just thought. I had a bit of a higher power moment, actually, which I didn't recognise at the time, because I'd gone to my GP for something unrelated to alcoholism. And I got to the door and I turned round. It was the first time I'd seen this GP. She was a lady and I felt a bit of an affinity with her. And I turned round and I said, I think I'm drinking too much, doctor. And she said, okay, sit down and tell me how much you are. And I, for the first time in my life, I was honest with myself and with her. And she said four words that I'll never forget. She said, I can help you. And she basically recommended me to a relapse prevention program, which is run in Brighton. I was signed on for that. And
the very first meeting, they asked me what my goal was. And it was, because I didn't know about the illness properly, I said, it's to get back in control of drinking. You know, it's got out of control. I want to get back to social drinking. But after the 2-week period, my perception and understanding had changed so dramatically that they finished with that question. The course finished with that question, what's your goal now? And my goal was to never pick up a drink again. And the very next day I went to my first meeting, and it was like, I swear to God, everybody in that room was talking to me. Mm-hmm. They weren't, but that's what it felt like. I just felt this kinship. I thought, my God, these are a group of strangers. Yet I felt I knew them, they knew me. And I just was like a sponge. I just absorbed everything they said. One of the things they suggested was 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did. And I learnt a great deal from that. And from then, I just have encompassed it as it's part of my life. Mm. And I know without it, I would drink again. I have no shadow of a doubt about that. And I just absolutely, it's changed my life in every single aspect. And I'm so grateful for that. It's incredible.
What was it that initially led you to the doctor? And initially led you to say, look, I'm drinking too much. At what point did you kind of make that realisation?
Again, I think because for 2 years I've been in total denial. I didn't realise that at the time. I thought I was in control of it. And I'd had a seizure myself, but that didn't stop me drinking. I'd had a very emotional heart-to-heart with my eldest daughter, who spoke on behalf of all the family about how worried they were. But no, I was all right. I could cope with it. I could deal with it, you know. And I went through all these stages of self-control where I wouldn't drink in the week, only drink at the weekend, change from red wine to rosé, all these different things that we put in place, none of them work. And I, as I say, I think for me, I don't know if it, well, I know I can only speak from my own experience, it was a higher power moment, and that has developed. I had some trouble with that at the beginning. I didn't hear the word God, I didn't read the word God, and it's only as I say I started hearing more about it that I started doing what was suggested, getting on my knees in the morning, thanking God for a sober day yesterday, praying that he would give me another one today, and following that I've had 100% success rate just for today.
Drug use was a huge part of my story, especially when I was younger, and I was an injecting drug addict for quite a number of years, so it was really glaringly obvious, like in my face, that I had a problem, I was out of control. But I think there was still that idea that at some point in my life I'd just sort it out, like I'd just stop, or I'd just sort it out, or I'd stop using certain kinds of drugs. And like a little bit like what other people have spoken about, of that idea of being able to control it, you know, or maybe just be able to have a drink. All this, you don't ever think that abstinence is going to be this thing in your life. I think that lots of people do think that hopefully at some point things will just sort themselves out. I always thought if I got a job, then I'll slow down and I'll stop, and I'd get a job and then I'd lose the job because I couldn't hold it together. If I got a boyfriend, you know, then I'd stop for them. But of course, most boys wouldn't come anywhere near me. And so I think denial came in that aspect. Yes, I knew I was out of control, but I still had these ideas that somehow something would happen that would kind of help me to put the reins on things a little bit. And
do you remember the first time you injected?
Yeah. I think for alcoholics and for addicts, it's quite clear. So I remember the first time I got really drunk, and I remember the first time that I injected drugs. And in a weird way, it was like an epiphany moment, like in my life, because I remember, like, the first time I got really, really drunk, I remember just feeling okay for the first time in my life, which I know sounds really weird. But as a child, I was very angsty and very kind of like not okay in my own skin. And I just remember being really drunk and just thinking, whatever, you know, I just felt okay. I felt free. I felt happy. And the same with the whole kind of drug. Yeah, I mean, obviously, injecting, I don't think you cannot remember that sort of thing, because it's quite, and I remember feeling terrified when I was doing it as well. But again, the same old thing of like, I'm just going to try it. I'll just see what it's like. I never thought I was going to become a drug addict, you know, to the point of having to do it every day and go into some of the extremes that I had to go to.
When you describe the feeling that the alcohol gave you, it's easy to see that that is a feeling that you would become addicted to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think for me personally, that was my solution. When I found alcohol, it gave me what I felt I'd been missing all of my life. It was like the final piece of the jigsaw.